Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, and beginning at verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this parable that Jesus spoke. And God, I pray that it be effective in our lives to hear what you have for us today from this section of passage. Now, God, please work with our pastor today. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to help us today to hear what your word has for us. And Father, if there'd be someone in this room today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room today, they would settle that in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, please make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate so it will not go off during the service. We would all appreciate the privacy and the moment to be away from somebody else's cell phone rings, etc. We'd appreciate that. There's a parable here Jesus taught. He taught 37 parables in his ministry. Most of them are in the Gospel of Luke, as a matter of fact. Now, the purpose of a parable is to take an everyday situation or circumstance and teach the truth from that. So he would taught a parable about a sower going forth to sow seed. No doubt there was probably someone right there in a field casting seed out into the ground. He talked about how the seed had effect based on the soil. But the purpose of the parable was not teaching agriculture. The purpose of the parable was to teach the important principle of how the Word of God affects us based on how we receive it. And the soil is each person's heart. This parable here, so whenever you read a parable, you want to try to understand who you are in this parable, because there's always something personal here. So here it is. A certain man had a fig tree. And he decided to plant that fig tree in his vineyard. His fig tree, his vineyard. And he plants it in the vineyard. He comes by for 3 years, the Bible says in this parable. He comes by for 3 years to find fruit on the fig tree. Now, I understand what he's looking for. He's looking for oranges. Apples. He's looking for figs. Doesn't say, now listen now, it doesn't say anything about whether or not the tree was pretty, had nice big, you know, fig leaves, big, huge fig leaves. He wanted to find fruit on his fig tree. Doesn't find any. So he goes to the vine dresser, the guy who works the vineyard, and he says, what's going on with this fig tree? It's no good. Cut it down. I don't want it taking up soil in my vineyard if it's not going to produce fruit. The vine dresser says, Master, could we do this? Let me dig around it. Let me work on it some. Give it a season. And then if it doesn't do anything, we'll cut it down. The owner of the fig tree in the vineyard is God. The vine dresser is the Holy Spirit of God. And you're the fig tree. So when you read this parable, just write your name there next to the fig tree, because it's you and it's me. Okay, now let's set the parable properly then. God, the Heavenly Father, via the work of the Holy Spirit through the Bible, comes and checks your life, and he wants to see fruit. And if he doesn't, he's going to do something about it. Now then, what you get from this parable is a very important truth this morning, and that's this. You'll learn what God expects from you. We're big on what we expect from God. And we can expect a lot from God because he's a big God. He is the God, the big G God. You can expect a lot from Him. We want God's forgiveness. We want His mercy. We want His grace. We want His help. We want His provision. We want His comfort. We want His direction. We want His hand upon our lives. We have all these expectations of God and asking God to do these things for us. We expect in our prayers. I don't know how you do it. When I pray, I expect God to answer prayer. That's why I'm praying. I want Him to help me. Or I'm asking for somebody else. So we have all these things we know we can expect from God. Can I ask you this morning to do something and just get to the other side of that? And can I ask you this morning to take a look at what God expects from you? Because that's what this parable is. Okay, one more time. The master, the owner of the fig tree and the vineyard is the God of heaven. The vine dresser, the one he goes to and says, "What's up with this fig tree? It's not bearing fruit." That's the person of the Holy Spirit. And then you and I, but I don't even want it to be a you and I thing. I want you to make it personal. You're the fig tree. And this is what God expects from you. Number one, there's the expectation of possession. It's his fig tree and his vineyard. So because it's his fig tree and his vineyard, he can decide what he wants to do with it or not. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, "What? Know you not that you're not your own, you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's," the Bible says. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you not only receive many wonderful things, forgiveness, salvation, home in heaven, redemption from hell, you become a child of God, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, become a joint heir with Jesus. I mean, it's amazing what happens at salvation, and it's all free because it's already been paid for. Jesus paid for the gift of salvation. He purchased it with his blood. He went to the cross. He died. He rose again the third day. And that is Jesus giving us, purchasing for us the gift of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when a sinner needing a Savior, and that sinner would be you and me, and the Savior would be Jesus and no one or nothing else, turns to Christ and trusts him for his salvation, God gives you the gift of eternal life. By the way, there's one other thing that goes with this long list of wonderful things you receive at salvation, and that's this. You belong to him. You're not your own now. You're bought with a price. Got way too many people with fish bumper stickers who don't live like the fish bumper sticker indicates. You know the story about the policeman who pulled this man over. This guy was driving around and just reckless driving and yelling and screaming at people and cursing at them and everything. The policeman pulled him over, got out. The policeman pulled his gun, made the guy get out, threw him over the hood of the car, went to arrest him. And the guy said, what's going on? And the policeman said, well, he stole this car. And he goes, I own the car. What are you talking about? And the policeman said, well, you weren't acting like the fish bumper sticker on your car, so I just assume you stole it. That's why we don't have "I go to Shasta Baptist Church" bumper stickers, okay? You're not going to see those. I got a couple of the churches I wouldn't mind putting on a bumper sticker and putting it on my car, but that's, well, we'll go there. Truth of the matter is, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. You don't belong to you anymore. Oh, I got my rights society going crazy today. Everybody wants it, and this is my life, and I can do what I want to do. Not if you're a saved person, you can. Now, let's be clear about something. He will allow you to make that decision, and God will even let you get stubborn with him and withdraw yourself and decide you're going to go your own way. But now remember the parable of the fig tree and the vineyard. He said, this tree isn't doing what I want this tree to do. I'm going to cut it down. I'm going to do something about the fact that my fig tree in my vineyard is not doing what my fig tree in my vineyard. You say, well, that you make God sound selfish. No, he's not selfish. He's just exercising property rights, the owner's rights. Now look at me, folks. Look at me. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, he does have the right to tell you what to do with your life. You accepted that salvation free and clear, and were so glad that you didn't have to work your way to heaven. You were glad you didn't have to get baptized to go to heaven, or join a church to go to heaven, or live a good life to go to heaven, or worse yet, hold out faithful to go to heaven. You accepted that grace through faith, amazing gift of God that he gave you the moment you trusted Christ, and how excited you were about that. And then you found out, oops, now I'm not my own. No, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But you need to understand, he expects you and I to realize we are his fig tree in his vineyard and we belong to him. May I say this? Now listen, the rest of the few points of this message this morning are not going to mean a thing to you if you don't get that one settled. That one, if you got that right, okay, I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. I'll be and do what God wants me to do then. And he can do and determine what he chooses, which is expectation number two. If you'll notice in the verse number six this morning, he said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Expectation from God number two from the parable is the expectation of placement. Question, I'm not much on vineyards, so I don't know a lot about them. I know a little bit about fig trees. Why would you put a fig tree in a vineyard? I mean, by a vineyard, around a vineyard, near a vineyard. Why in a vineyard? You've seen the vineyards before, right? The rows and rows and rows of vines and things. Why would you put a fig? That doesn't make sense, does it? Oh, but if it's his fig tree, he can put it wherever he wants. So he put the fig tree where he wanted the fig tree to be. And he must have wanted the fig tree in his vineyard. Now, we're not talking geography either here. We're talking about where God puts you in life. In these last several months in our church, we've had seven funerals and seven weddings. I think we're up one on the funerals. I think we're at eight funerals and seven weddings in the last several months in our church. Not this past week, but the week prior to that, I had three funerals and a wedding in 3 days, 4 days actually. And it's amazing to see how that God took some of our dear precious people. He took them home. And their loved ones are sitting here in this room this morning. And some of our folks, their young people, united together in marriage within the same distance. So we have some folks today who grieve. And we have some folks today who rejoice. Do you understand how God places us in life? I don't understand all that. I don't always understand how the Master, or where or why the Master puts us in our situations in life. That doesn't always make sense, does it? I mean, seriously, now look at me. Should anybody have to suffer loss? Should anybody have to get sick? Should anybody have to lose their job? Should anybody have to go through some of the stuff that God's people go through in their life? Should it be like that? It must be, because in the will of God, he'll place his fig tree where he wants to put it. Now, see, we're thinking about geography, whether I live here or there or somewhere else. No. Let's talk about the situations of our lives. So why do we have dark midnights and long hours? Why is that? Why sometimes do we have to go through the toil and the struggles of life? What's that all about? See, here's the problem. We ask the right question, but if we ask it the wrong way, it doesn't work. You know, it's not wrong to ask God why. It's just wrong to demand an answer and question what he's doing. Why is not wrong. Why is okay with God. Jesus asked why on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So why is not a problem. It's how you ask the question and whether or not you're willing to accept the answer. And are you willing to accept the fact that sometimes God places us in difficult situations? Sometimes he puts his fig tree in a vineyard. And everyone walks by and goes, what's with this guy with the fig tree in the vineyard? And we were driving by him the other day. We're down in preaching meetings down in Santa Maria. And we're passing up through the Paso Robles area there. It's become kind of like Napa. And there's all these vineyards in there. I didn't see one fig tree out there. I didn't see an oak tree, a eucalyptus tree. I didn't see an evergreen tree in the middle of anybody's vineyard. Just rows and rows and rows. Because that's what looks right to everybody else. Does it look right to you? You ever have people come up to you and say, well, I don't see why God's putting you through this in your life. Listen to me. Don't mess with the Master. He has an expectation of placement in our lives. And he'll put you what's best for you and for everybody else. Now, that always won't be pleasant. And it always won't be acceptable. But it will be some of these dear widows in these last few weeks. I told them, I said, you know, God knew this was going to come. God knew the day it's appointed unto a man once to die. God knew this day was going to come. He has something here. He knew you'd be facing these days where your husband would be in heaven. He knew these days would come when your wife would be gone. God knew those days. Do you understand? But the question isn't, does he do that? The question is, are you okay with that? Tough to be in a place where God has put you and not willing to accept that. Expectation of placement, number three, is the expectation of productivity. So it says in verse number six, he came and he sought fruit thereon. One more thing, please. It's a fig tree in a vineyard and it's out of place, but he still expects fruit. Look here, there's no description of the tree. But the tree was beautiful and the leaves were large and green. And the trunk was of a silvery color. And it was so beautiful, as it? He didn't give a flip about the tree. You understand that? He doesn't care what it looks like. See, here's what we think. Well, as long as the appearances are okay. He's looking for fruit. He comes to the fig tree and he's looking for fruit. And in the Bible, we don't have time to go into this more in the message. In the Bible, you look it up. There are seven different fruits of the Christian. Let me just read you the list very quickly. There's the fruit of souls. Proverbs 11, verse 30. Souls, winning Christians, winning people to Christ, excuse me. There's the fruit of perfection, Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. That's maturity, growing up as a child of God. There's the fruit of increase, John chapter 15 and verse 2. He says he prunes the fig tree, the vine, so it will bring forth more fruit. God expects you to increase in your life as a child of God. Not only grow as a Christian, but do more for God with your life. There's the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 22. When the Holy Spirit controls us, He will produce this in us. He expects that. There's the fruit of righteousness in Hebrews 12 and verse number 11. God expects us to do the right thing. Hebrews 13, 15, the fruit of thanks. Let your lips be a thankful person. And then there's the fruit of holiness. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Say, well, which one does he expect of me? Yes. Yes. See, here's what we do. Well, there was a couple figs on there. What's the big deal? I don't think he'd be pleased with a huge fig tree with two figs on there. He's expecting to find a bounty of things. Well, nobody's everything they're supposed to be, Pastor Johnson. Yes, and that's the reason why. Because nobody's everything they're supposed to be, that excuses me from being anything I'm supposed to be. That's not how it works. Christian, look at me. Look at me. He expects to see the fruit of a child of God in your life. I recommend you get that list of seven things and start seeing God work in your life so those things can be produced. Because that's what brings the master's displeasure with the fig tree. He's not happy with this thing. He didn't put the fig tree out there to shade the vineyard. He put the fig tree out there to get grapes and figs off the same piece of ground. And if that fig tree is not going to do its job, what does he say? I've come here for 3 years. Now, here's the part that blesses me. He said, I've come for 3 years. Wouldn't it be rough if he came 1 year, no figs, cut the thing down, threw it out? That'd be rough. Man, isn't God patient? God is patient. I said, God is patient. Thank both you Methodists. I said, God is patient. Yes. One more time. God is patient, my friend. 3 years he comes wanting figs, got nothing. Then still didn't cut the tree down yet and sit. See, some of us think, well, this is the way I've been living my Christian life for all along. You have to understand something. The master's circle in the tree. You better do something here. It's time to fish or cut bait, friend. It's time to get on with it. Two men out in a fishing boat one day on the middle of a lake, couldn't catch a thing. One of them reached in his tackle box, pulled out a stick of dynamite, lit it, and threw it in the water. All these dead fish come up. He starts scooping them up. His buddy goes, you can't fish like that. That's illegal. He reached in his toolbox, pulled out another stick of dynamite, lit it, and handed it to his friend. He says, you're going to fish or talk? God bless our brother Cox's heart this morning, our former game warden with us today. Well, I go to church every now and then. Look at me. Tell me that. Did you see that in the list of fruit anywhere? That's a part of the righteousness, and that is doing the right thing. But Christian, now look, don't you understand? He is expecting not just fruit. He's expecting more fruit. He's expecting something. He's expecting to see something, and he's being patient. But he isn't going to let that go on forever. See, we got this idea today, and it's come out of this neo-evangelical side of our Christianity. All we got to do is go to church, show up, get a little hallelujah, sloppy agape, a little worship team dancing around, get up and go to church, and there's my Christianity. Wrong. He's expecting the fruit of life the Christian life to be manifest in what I do and how I live. So look, so don't come to Shasta Baptist Church and expect us to let you just sit there and do nothing. Now, we're not going to bother you about things, but from this pulpit preaching that Bible, whether it's myself or him or anybody else that stands to preach, we're going to challenge you to live the Christian life. Because my friend, he's expecting fruit. We don't want you to be happy with us. We want you to be happy with the owner of the fig tree. And if you'll manifest, it doesn't. Now look, he'll give it time, and he does. But he does not give unlimited time. Oh, then there's the expectation, number four, of preparation. Look at verse number 8. And so he answering, this is the vine dresser, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall do two things. Dig about it and dung it. Dig. You know what dig means, right? Take something out. What dung it means. Do I have to explain what dung is this morning? I can if you want. It's not a problem. I've got a lot of adjectives on this one. We know what dung is? How many don't know what dung is? You have no idea what dung is? Nuts. Okay. So we know what dung is. Well, there's so many things going through my mind right now. Okay, then we dig, we take it out, we dung, we put stuff in. And the dung thing, that would be something always very pleasant. Not necessarily to us, but to the tree it is. Okay, so here it is, expectation of preparation. He expects to take some things out and put some things in because it's his tree and his vineyard. That's soil around the tree, that's his too because it's in his vineyard, you know. So he expects to be able to take some things and expects to be able to put some things in there. That's his vineyard, that's preparation because in taking things out, he gets rid of things that shouldn't be there. Putting things in, he gets something there that will be beneficial to the tree and it's fruit bearing and so he takes out, he puts in, he takes out, he puts in, he does it and he digs first, dungs second. You could just pile it all at the base of the tree and hope it gets down in there, but the best way is to dig down the root system and get... That's why God is in the business of taking the Word of God as quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I remember when I first started going to a Bible preaching church, I thought, this guy's living in my house and I didn't know it. He was preaching on everything I did. And then he started preaching on stuff I was just thinking about doing. I thought, I didn't even got to that one yet, but I was thinking about it, and he headed me off over there too. It's unbelievable. And get down to the roots and put the stuff in there that needs to be there and let God. And sometimes that stuff that he takes out, we didn't want to turn loose of that. But if he wants to take it, you let him have it. Look at me. If it's something he's keep pulling on your heart about in your life, something he keeps saying, now you need to get rid of this. It may be something, it may be someone. Well, I shouldn't have to give up any of my dreams to do be able to God. No, excuse me. Yes, you should, because that happens often. It doesn't mean it always is the case. All I'm saying is, he's trying to take something, don't hold on to it. If he wants it, let him have it. Let him dig it out. Because once you remove something, he can then put in what needs to be there. It's always what they call the theory of replacement. Let God take out what he wants to take out so he can put in what he wants to put in. And what he puts in, again, is not necessarily always appealing and something we would always desire. But it is what's best for the tree and the fruit and the rest of the vineyard. Then there's the last thing is the expectation of purging. After 3 years, he says to the vine dresser, cut that thing down, it's not doing any good. Vine dresser, merciful Father, merciful Master, let me work on that for a bit. Give it one more season, then we'll cut it down. Father, there's no reply here because there's an agreement between the Father and the Spirit. But there is also this agreement. It's not going to go on like this. You're going to step in and do something. You ever wonder why so many Christians, they live what I call crisis Christianity. They live from one crisis to the other one. And that's about the only way God can ever get their attention. You know what I mean? I've always told you, if you treat God like a fireman, where you only, you know, there's a fire station right over here. Nobody goes by the fire station and says, how you doing? Thanks, fellas, for being on the job. Nobody even pays attention to those poor guys over there until something's on fire. Then you call them and you expect them there in minutes. We treat God like a fireman. We just sit around, okay, God, go over there, God. God, go sit down over there, God. Now, don't mess with my life. Don't mess with my living. You go get over there. You just stay there. When I need something, then boom, something happens. Okay, God, okay. Come here, God. You got to help me now. And we just, then something's always going to be on fire. Expect to live a crisis Christian life. Something's always, you're going to have trouble with something. You rob God, you're going to have trouble with your money. You have wickedness in your heart, you're going to have problems with your actions and your behavior. Don't you understand? There's a reap what you sow principle that works. It works both ways, good and bad, but know this. He's not going to let things just go on. He's not going to do it. Look here. He's going to step in and say, okay, that's enough of that. And God will decide that. Proverbs 29, verse 1, the Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. But God lets you harden your neck for a while before he stops it. Boom, and then he steps in. And when he does, there's no repair for that. See, Pastor Johnson, you're trying to intimidate me. You're pretty smart. Because if the idea of God messing with your life doesn't intimidate you, you're a fool. You hear me? Say, I don't like that statement. Let me try it one more time. I said, if the idea of God messing with your life doesn't intimidate you, you are a fool. Because God can do that. God put mighty kings out in the backyard of their palace scratching on the ground for 7 years before they woke up and got right. God can do that now. That wonderful, loving, patient, merciful Heavenly Father says, that's it, cut the tree down, I'm done with it. It doesn't mean, now listen, it doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It does mean you lose what he has for you. He's done with you. It doesn't have to be like that. But it will be if we don't do what God wants us to do with our lives. Well, I'll think about it. If you're in the first, second, or third season, you're okay. But see, we don't know what that is now, do we? We don't know where we're at with this thing. We don't know how far we're down the road. We don't know how much he's reproved us. Well, that's why I don't go to church a lot, because one man told me, I don't go to your church because I feel bad when I go there. I said, well, I don't want you to feel bad. But then he told me what he was doing, how he was living his life, and I thought, yeah, you should feel bad. Anyway, the point is, we get this idea, but God doesn't just use church and preaching. He uses the events and circumstances of our life to say, that's not working, is it? And it's a reproof, but it's good, because it's God trying to tell us, I'm checking for fruit on my tree here. So then, whether you think this is right or not, it's true. You want to be his fig tree. You really do. Because then he'll keep working on you. And it's a good thing. And you don't have to bear all the fruit that everybody else does. You just have to bear the fruit God has for you in your life. And you keep working at this thing. The fruit comes. We're seeing the change of the seasons. Watermelon season is just about gone. Heartbreaker. And we're about to lose the summer fruits. Oh, but then there's the stuff of the fall. Citrus fruits and apples and pumpkin pie. See, that's not a fruit. It is in my house. Pumpkin pie. God has fruit for every season. He just wants you and expects you to bear fruit. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.